Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tak, ciao, weevi, va, cat, bang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Oh, I think our troubles are all relative, right? Here I am. Okay, I'm not. Thankfully, I'm not a Syrian or Libyan refugee. My A key is out on my computer, the A on my keyboard. Do you know how, I mean, why couldn't it be one of those high score letters in Scrabble that would go out? An A, how can one live without the A? Can I buy a vowel, please? An A. Okay, if there are more typos than usual in my Facebook postings and Twitter postings, just imagine where the A would be. And then when I finally get the A to work, then it goes, you know, A, then I get 7 or 8 A's in a row. So then I have to delete. So taking me a little longer to do anything. You know, it's like your thumb is, you know, so valuable to you. You don't realize it until you can't use it for a while or something. But is that what I have to complain about? All that there is for me to complain about, which there is for me to complain. I'm trying not to end the sentence in a preposition. Inexplicably, as you may have guessed by now, it's all inexplicable that this month marks the 15th anniversary of broadcasting this show. 15th anniversary this month. Now we're syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. 15 years ago this month, we were just starting on KRLA in Los Angeles and then picked up, what was it? The call letters in San Francisco, KYCY, I think, the CBS station there. And then it was on to various CBS and Clear Channel radio stations and networks, including the Air America Radio Network. And here we are today, 15 years later. I don't know, I thought it would last 2 or 3 weeks. I think that my wisdom about being successful in show business, and there's no business like vegan show business, by the way. What wisdom could I pass on about being successful and having longevity like this? I think you either have to be a show about everything, as this program is, or a show about nothing, you know, as Seinfeld was. Of course, if you're a show about nothing like Seinfeld, you rake in billions of dollars, and if you're a show about everything, you hear me saying, hey, can you click the donate button at goveganradio.com and send us $5, $10? You know, we have to keep this radio show going, and because it's about everything, it seems like we never get to anything on this show, huh? 15 years, haven't gotten to anything yet. When I first started doing this program, a potential advertiser said, you know, hey, after you do 2 or 3 shows, you know, what do you have to talk about? That's it, huh? Now, 15 years later, we still haven't really gotten to anything yet. So that's a good reason to donate to this show. Help us get to something. Another good reason is we need your financial support to organize the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Seinfeld and I both graduated from World Vegan Summit and Expo. You can register now. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Seinfeld and I both graduated from Queens College of the City University of New York. And he must have taken the right courses to amass his billions. And my courses led me to protest the plight of the billions of animals tortured and killed to become food and clothing and laboratory experiments and slaves in entertainment and, but I must say, I actually was really impressed by the wisdom, the philosophical wisdom that I heard Seinfeld speak this past week. I was on YouTube, it was an interview with Seinfeld. I don't even remember what the program was. Could have been recent, could have been years ago. But he was explaining the longevity of his show and his comedy career. And he was saying that pretty much what we do is we engage in the torture most comfortable to us, the torture that we can handle. He said, he's on stage doing stand-up. He's never comfortable on stage. It's like torture. Maybe that's true. That's, I'm not comfortable right now. So, the torture of 15 years of concentrating on so much suffering in the world. Billions and billions of animals killed by an herbivore species, Homo sapien, that is you. Whom are you calling a Homo sapien? Well, humans, the herbivore gone mad on a carnivorous diet, taking just everything on the planet off balance because of that. And if you're under the false belief that humans are carnivores or omnivores or dairyvores or pescivores or whatever your excuse maybe for the momentary pleasure of your taste buds, do attend the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We'll have a talk by Milton Mills, MD, who will present the scientific evidence that proves you are an herbivore. How many news stories do you hear about lions having heart attacks, huh? Lions having too much cholesterol? Nope. Doesn't happen too much. How many horror stories are there about heart attacks in your family or cancer? Should our food be what kills us? That doesn't sound right. That doesn't seem to make so much sense. Or is it that we just don't know what food is? That's what's killing us. We don't really know what food is. We think meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, cadavers, decomposing corpses, secretions for animals. It's really hard for me to vote for someone to be a leader who doesn't know how to feed him or herself or his or her family. And historically, well, look at our leaders. The one person I could vote for, Dennis Kucinich, right? He was a vegan. Cindy Sheehan ran for office, a vegan. But when it comes to politics, remember the very memorable campaign slogan of Herbert Hoover. President before you were born. His campaign slogan was, "A chicken in every pot." A chicken in every pot. That was the campaign promise back then. Which I guess could be the promise of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, and in every family. Then we fast forward to Hillary. And Hillary, of course, has had a cozy relationship with Tyson Foods, the mass killer of chickens in Arkansas. So easily, Hillary's slogan could be a chicken in every pot. And what about our most progressive of progressive candidates, Bernie Sanders? I saw him on an interview show this week. I don't remember the program again either, but he was saying Ben and Jerry's in every home. I think he said Ben and Jerry's bar in every home. A Ben and Jerry's bar in every home. Well, that's pretty much okay. That's climate change, game over, right? Environment, game over. If there's if there's Ben and Jerry's in every home, that'll make the methane leak in Southern California in the LA area look like just a little puff of methane smoke. When in reality, It's pumping it out. That gas leak in Southern California near where I used to live, and I covered it last week. It's in Porter Ranch. What's it, 100,000 pounds per hour, 100,000 pounds of methane being released per hour. Solution, I think, must be that Californians, this methane is... It's incredible the effect it has on climate change. So to neutralize it, we definitely in California have to immediately shut down all dairy farms. We immediately have to stop all dairy consumption. Cows, if you go to my one of my favorite sources of information, which is livestock and climate change, which came from Robert Goodland and Jeff Anhang, two of the top environmental specialists in the world at the World Bank. And, if we just look at what's related to methane. So what they did in their report, Livestock and Climate Change, they assessed a UN report, a UN Food and Agriculture Organization report, Livestock's Long Shadow, which grossly underestimated the impact of so-called livestock on the environment, only estimating that it produces 18% of all greenhouse gas emissions, when the World Bank scientists said at least 51%, but we'll continue after the break. And Professor Francione coming up after the top of the hour on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are also two Bob Linden pages on Facebook to keep me busy doing everything in triplicate, even without the letter A on my keyboard on the computer. I don't know what to do. Some people say, oh, take the letter off and clean out the potato chips and hummus underneath. And then others are saying, don't take the letter off. Whatever you do, you'll never get it back on. So, can I buy a vowel? There's a vowel, the FAO. If I were writing about the Food and Agriculture Organization and you saw me write FO, that's probably the reason why. But I was talking about the assessment of the Food and Agriculture Organization report, Livestock's Long Shadow, which estimated that animal agriculture is responsible for 18% of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions, still more than all transportation combined, cars, boats, planes, trucks, whatever. But that was a gross... is there a reason? Justin, I'm hearing music in my headset. Oh, you lost me, and I'm hearing music in the headset, so... Okay, thank you. In this assessment, you know, in examining the UN report, the World Bank climate specialists came up with the estimate that animal agriculture is responsible not for 18% of human-caused greenhouse gas emissions, but at least 51% of all human-caused greenhouse gas emissions. And the World Bank climate specialists, Goodland and Anhang, looked at the FAO report, and it said the FAO estimates that 37% of human-induced methane comes from livestock. And the World Bank climate specialists looked at that and said, well, they underestimated that by, it looks like, 5,047 million tons. 5,047 million tons. I guess we're getting into the billions there. And methane has a more dramatic effect on climate change than CO2, sometimes estimated to be 20, 25% worse, up to 100 times worse, depending upon how much time over time. But in the report, livestock and climate change. It says here, well, as I said, I'll quote from Livestock and Climate Change. According to the FAO, 37% of human-induced methane comes from livestock. Although methane warms the atmosphere much more strongly than does CO2, its half-life in the atmosphere is only about 8 years versus at least 100 years for CO2. As a result, a significant reduction in livestock raised worldwide would reduce greenhouse gas emissions relatively quickly compared with measures involving renewable energy and energy efficiency. So, there you have it again. The only way to address climate change, and the same World Bank climate specialist did say that the only way to address climate change is a 50 to 85% population shift away from these so-called livestock products to being vegan. And again, you know, we have all of these people saying, you know, the climate change is a big issue. Climate change is a big issue to Bernie Sanders, who wants Ben and Jerry's methane in every home, and Hillary Clinton with her Tyson chicken in every pot, and, you know, just like Herbert Hoover. And, you know, Obama also, climate change a big deal, but he caves into the meat industry. Wait, even Democracy Now! Had a segment on Obama and meat this week. I'm in shock. Here, this is how it sounded on Democracy Now!
Health and environmental experts are accusing the Obama administration of caving to the meat industry in its new dietary guidelines released Thursday. While the guidelines recommend consuming less sugar, they do not recommend eating less meat. This comes despite recent findings by the World Health Organization that processed meat is carcinogenic to humans. Advocates are also condemning the government for dropping a proposed recommendation that people eat an environmentally sustainable diet. This, too, would have led to recommendations to curb meat consumption, since meat production uses far more water than other forms of food production.
There you have it. We'll continue on GoVee. Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. It's two Bob Linden pages there. And we invite you to register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up July 29th, 30th, and 31st on the campus of the University of California in Berkeley. And we will not have the participation of the Humane Society of the United States at our event. Somehow, it seems to be featured at another conference, a so-called animal rights conference, but it's really incomprehensible to me first of all, at that so-called animal rights conference last year, an employee of the Humane Society of the United States, an egg salesman, his main job is getting universities and corporations to buy cage-free eggs, he was inducted into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame. And the Humane Society of the United States is a regular speaker. It's Vice President of Farm Animal Protection, Paul Shapiro, is a regular speaker at that conference. He was on the panel, The Future of Animal Rights. But don't you think that, you know, an organization that purports to be the number one animal protection organization should be a vegan organization? I mean, I don't understand how vegans can support HSUS. I mean, it's basically against your own interest. It was like the Reagan Democrats, right? To actually support what's against the interest of animals. And, you know, if you're an animal organization and you're not vegan, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a way that vegans who, you know, if you miss oppressing somebody, you can still, you know, get in touch with your inner oppressor and support the Humane Society of the United States, which is not a vegan organization. How do I know this? Well, in the words of its chief executing officer, Wayne Pacelli, I know this. And let's listen to Wayne in his own words here and try to understand why and how vegans might support this rancher advocacy butcher organization.
We're working with farmers. There's a view that you may hear today and that you may have heard prior that HSUS is a vegan organization. We are not a vegan organization. I started visiting farms, U.S. farms and European farms, talking to these egg farmers. And at the end of the day, we moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that farmers had, reached an agreement with the major association in the egg industry. There is a big gap, unfortunately, between what people want, which is animals being well cared for, and what animals get in some circumstances. And that's why you have groups like HSUS and others that are trying to square up people's instinctive appreciation and instinct to be good to animals with how animals are actually treated, whether it's on farms or in other settings. We'll be forming other ag councils with card-carrying HSUS members who are active farmers and ranchers in the major agricultural producing states in the country. And we believe that if animals are going to be raised for food and to make this sacrifice for human sustenance, we need to be good to them. The public is concerned about humane treatment. That's why all 50 states have penalties for malicious cruelty to animals. That's why our nation has 20,000 animal welfare groups. That's why these are universal values. It's a debate that we're having in society about how far to go. We are not a vegan organization. When I went to Mike McCluskey's huge dairy operation in Indiana, 35,000 cows, 35,000, he didn't bar my taking a picture. He was happy. He's proud of his operation. I was amazed. There was very little lameness. There was no tail docking of dairy cows. It was an incredible case of agritourism. Thousands of people see McCluskey's farms in northwest Indiana. And it's a model of agriculture where he's making an affirmative case that, yes, this is how your food gets to the table. This is how animals are treated. We are proud of it. We moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that farmers had. We're working with farmers. There's a view that you may hear today and that you may have heard prior that HSUS is a vegan organization. We are not a vegan organization.
Well, there you have it. If you're a vegan who's still a believer, who still supports this rancher advocacy group, I'm a vegan for animal agriculture. I support HSUS. I think I'm going to have to play that for Professor Francione, who will join us just after the top of the hour. I'd like to get his reaction to it. But I find it amazing. Of course, I find it amazing that any vegan supports HSUS. Here you have it. The number one animal protection organization thinks that being vegan isn't important. But eating animals is. Eating animals its way, of course. It's pretty amazing, huh? There's the direct quote. We are not a vegan organization. And then, did you hear him? At the end of the day, we moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that the farmers had. So, basically, we moved off of our position, which was in support of animals, to our position, which is in support of their oppressors. Because their oppressors were, you know, financially strapped, and maybe they would have gone out of business, and you know, we can't have the egg industry going out of business, so we have to partner with the egg industry. And don't worry, egg industry, because we're HSUS, and we can talk Farm Sanctuary into partnering with the egg industry, and Mercy for Animals, and Compassion Over Killing, and even Farm USA, the organizer of the annual so-called Animal Rights Conference, decided, it would move off of its position also where, you know, it would move off of its traditional position, which it expressed quite eloquently the year before. And then it decided, too, that, animal exploitation is really where it's at, right? Not to end the sentence with a preposition, but, you know. That's where the money is. Animal exploitation is where the money is. What? Saying go vegan? Where's the money in that? When you can brag about, as Wayne Pacelli does there, he brags about an operation with 35,000 cows. It's a model of agriculture. Vegans have, you know, who support HSUS, I mean, you're doing a great job in helping get the word out that a dairy farm with 35,000 cows, as he said, you know, Wayne Pacelli said, it's a model of agriculture. This is how animals are treated, and we are proud of it. So, what's wrong with this picture? So, what do you think of 35,000 cows, all of whom have to be raped, right, to produce milk? So, there's no producing milk without the rape. All of the babies have to be kidnapped so the consumers of dairy can have the milk stolen from the babies, so all of the babies become veal, or they're fattened up to become beef. And then all of the mothers, after constant rapes, are killed and become hamburgers. So we can be proud as vegans supporting an organization like the Humane Society of the United States, which, doesn't think being vegan is important. We're not a vegan organization. At the end of the day, we moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that the farmers had. And really, that's what's most important, right? Making sure that the farmers are not challenged economically. And these are the people held up as our heroes, glorified as the leaders of the animal rights movement by that bogus Farm USA sellout. They sell us the sellouts every year. You know, those who would partner with the egg industry. That's Farm USA. It partnered with the egg industry. It supported, it reversed its position in supporting horrendous battery cages and then joined in the deception. The most deceptive advertising campaign imaginable. From those who get their money pulling at your heartstrings. So no, there will be no Humane Society of the United States at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, or any of those groups who are partners with the egg industry, you know, like Farm Sanctuary and Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing. Farm USA. It won't be there. But we will have movers and shakers and some of the leading thinkers of our time who really embrace what is most important, and that is being vegan and helping others be vegan. It's the only way we can save the world from climate change, the only way we can save billions of animals from suffering. I'll talk a bit more about what's happening at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and Professor Francione will join us after the top of the hour on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Click donate at goveganradio.com. Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There is a Facebook page for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and there is a webpage, worldvegansummit.com, where you can register for this amazing event. We are getting it together right at, you know, I mean, the end of the year. Okay, now it's finally the beginning of the year, time to get things together. We're in that phase and stage where people think we don't know what we're doing. It happened last year around this, as we led to the first World Vegan Summit and Expo, and then it turned out to be an amazing event. So out of the initial chaos will come something very special, you know, that you're really going to want to be there. I mean, we're very motivated to helping everyone go vegan and get the word out and just have this really special gathering of people devoted to the cause, World Vegan Summit and Expo. We thank Dixie May for support, financial support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo in loving memory of her husband, Stan May, who passed away at the age of 90 in 2015. Stan was vegan for 25 years. Dixie is vegan for 37 years now. And it now being 2016, here we are in January. This is the 15th anniversary of this radio program. And I am now vegan for 32 years. How many animals have I saved if I am vegan for 32 years? Well, I can resort to my Stuyvesant High School math and science background to try to calculate, or I can go to the vegancalculator.com, which says 11,680 animals whom I saved over 32 years by being vegan. 11,680 animals. Aren't I wonderful? Don't I love me? Okay. So anyway, World Vegan Summit and Expo coming up July 29th, 30th, and 31st. Professor Francione coming up just after the top of the hour. Of course, he will be featured there. He's center stage. And Gary Francione, Professor Francione, and Anna Charlton will be there. Professor Gary Steiner. We're getting it together as we go along here now. But I mean, Antenna Roba, MD, from the International Fund for Africa. Milton Mills, MD, who will convince you that you're an herbivore, not a carnivore or an omnivore. Vaidya Priyanka, who is from a 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers, bringing the wisdom of veganism. We'll have discussions on companion animals. Eric Weissman will be there, founder of Evolution, dog and cat food, and of course, our peace advocacy with Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan. She'll be there. We're going to have a special video presentation from Chris Hedges. Our peace advocacy will be strong. Of course, our vegan and animal advocacy will be strong. Sue Coe, the noted artist, the renowned artist, will be there with an art exhibit. And Mike Weinberg of Vegan Diego with his program helping us support vegan businesses. You know, we really believe that, you know, if you have the choice of a vegan restaurant or a restaurant that's not vegan but has vegan options, you know, please support the vegan businesses. Businesses that are 100% vegan deserve our support. They're the ones who've put it all on the line for the cause, and you know, we need to support them. Anuj Shah will be there, as he was at the last event, thankfully on the board of Go Vegan Radio and now with his own podcast. And Kenneth G. Williams will be there. Tamira Dyson from Solely Vegan Restaurant. It goes on and on for, you know, Feeding the Homeless and the Hungry. Keith McHenry and Abby Samuels of Food Not Bombs, and Paul Rodney Turner and Karen Hens. Yeah, just on and on. Helen Harwyatt on the environment. We'll cover water and drought. WorldVeganSummit.com. Register now. WorldVeganSummit.com. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We are live Sundays, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. And yes, this month marks the 15th anniversary, as heard on Air America, CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, and now right here with you this moment. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And Professor Gary Francione joins us now. He brings us weekly commentary. Is Professor Charlton there too tonight?
Oh,
Professor
no, Francione? Bob. It is just I this evening.
Okay, I didn't want to minimize or whatever the
invisibilize you, Bob. I don't want to. I'm not going to argue with you. It was hurtful. You invisibilized for last week.
Invisibilize. I hate to invisibilize, but then again, this is radio. This is radio. We're all kind of invisibilized in radio. You know, when you come right down to it. So, I wanted to have you on early to discuss a couple of subjects. I was talking a little bit earlier about how HSUS and its groupie groups will not be at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. I just find it appalling that the situation, you know, is devolved in the world to the point where the number one animal protection organization thinks that being vegan isn't important, but eating animals is, you know. So it's very disheartening, and you know, I'm asking people, you know, to recognize at least I know so many vegans who still support HSUS, which is, and I mentioned it's like, you know, Reagan Democrats or people voting against their own interest, in this case, you know, against the animals' interest. And so I put together a little, a few sound bites of Wayne Pacelli, hopefully to convince people of what I'm saying. And I wanted to get your reaction to it, and you know, so I guess we'll play that now and just see what you think of, you know, Wayne in his own words here.
We're working with farmers. There's a view that you may hear today and that you may have heard prior that HSUS is a vegan organization. We are not a vegan organization. I started visiting farms, U.S. farms and European farms, talking to these egg farmers, and at the end of the day, we moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that farmers had, reached an agreement with the major association in the egg industry. There is a big gap, unfortunately, between what people want, which is animals being well cared for, and what animals get in some circumstances. And that's why you have groups like HSUS and others that are trying to square up people's instinctive appreciation and instinct to be good to animals with how animals are actually treated, whether it's on farms or in other settings. We'll be forming other ag councils with card-carrying HSUS members who are active farmers and ranchers in the major agricultural producing states in the country. And we believe that if animals are going to be raised for food and to make this sacrifice for human sustenance, we need to be good to them. The public is concerned about humane treatment. That's why all 50 states have penalties for malicious cruelty to animals. That's why our nation has 20,000 animal welfare groups. That's why these are universal values. It's a debate that we're having in society about how far to go. We are not a vegan organization. When I went to Mike McCluskey's huge dairy operation in Indiana, 35,000 cows, 35,000, he didn't bar my taking a picture. He was happy. He's proud of his operation. I was amazed. There was very little lameness. There was no tail docking of dairy cows. It was an incredible case of agritourism. Thousands of people see McCluskey's farms in Northwest Indiana. And it's a model of agriculture where he's making an affirmative case that yes, this is how your food gets to the table. This is how animals are treated. We are proud of it. We moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that farmers had. We're working with farmers. There's a view that you may hear today and that you may have heard prior that HSUS is a vegan organization. We are not a vegan organization.
So, Professor Francione, how can a vegan support HSUS and its group of groupies after hearing that? I mean, in the words of the chief executing officer.
Well, I mean, Bob, I think there are two issues here. One is, you know, the reaction that we all have when we hear Wayne say this stuff and say, how can he be taking this position when he is, you know, putting himself forward as the leading animal protection organization in the country or the world or whatever. And then the issue about how can vegans support him, that's a separate issue. I mean, as far as the first issue is concerned, how can Wayne say these things? As shocking as these things are that he says, in many ways, it's his position is no different from the position that the Humane Society of the United States has always taken. It's always been a humane exploitation organization. You know, it's an animal welfare. You know, there are different sorts of organizations. You know, and HSUS in many ways is a traditional HSUS is a traditional welfarist organization. Okay, what's concerning to me is, yes, HSUS is a welfarist organization. I wish that there were no welfarist organizations. However, there are. It's one of them. What concerns me is some years ago, when I first got involved in this 30 years ago, you know, there were those of us who identified with the idea of animal rights, although we weren't sure really what it meant. But, you know, we identified with this supposedly more progressive vision. And, you know, there was HSUS and the Animal Welfare Institute and these other sorts of, you know, conventional welfarist groups. And we saw them ourselves as different from them. The problem is now all of the organizations in this country, all of them, you know, all of them, all of the large animal advocacy organizations have become welfarist organizations. At very best, they're what I call new welfarist organizations. That is, they claim they want something more, but they're all supporting the same sorts of campaigns that HSUS promotes. So we've got basically a unified movement now, and HSUS is the voice of it. We don't really have any more progressive rights. You know, none of the charities are articulating a rights or abolitionist position. As a matter of fact, most of them get pretty upset with me because I do, even as an individual, I don't have an organization, I don't have employees or anything like that. They don't like it. They get upset. They call me divisive and other sorts of things. So now the other question is, how can vegans support these people? And the answer is they shouldn't. If you support these groups, HSUS, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over, get all of them. They are all basically the same organization, the same organization. They have the same basic principles. They're not vegan organizations. To the extent that they promote veganism, they promote it simply as a way of reducing suffering, along with, you know, crate-free this and cage-free that and all of the other welfarist measures that they promote. And supporting these organizations is supporting happy exploitation. So, I mean, HSUS, because it's big, does a lot more, you know, does more horrible things. They sponsor events like Hoofin' It, where they sponsor restaurant, you know, they sponsor tours of restaurants that are serving different sorts of meat, or they have Joe Maxwell,
bacon coupons,
who's now the political director of their legislative fund. He's a pig farmer. And, you know, they give coupons for Applegate bacon.
Yeah,
they
bacon.
Do all sorts of outrageous things. But, you know, really, they're really no different in many ways than a lot of the other organizations. They're all supporting happy exploitation, all of them. So if you support these organizations, you're supporting happy exploitation. Now, why do people who are vegans and who are serious vegans, why do they do this? And I think, you know, if you go to conferences, Bob, if you go to like the animal rights conference, I've only been to the farm animal reform movement conference that they have every year. I've only been once in well over a decade. But if you go to those things, these groups are all talking the right sort of talk to that audience. So people really aren't paying attention when Wayne is saying we're not a vegan organization, or people from HSUS will say, well, that's what we say because that's what we've got to say, but we're subversive, and, you know, we're going to do this for the animals, but we have to be quiet about it. And you can say, well, how can anybody believe that? And the answer is, Bob, there's still like a lot of people who believe in Santa Claus and who believe in the Easter Bunny and all sorts of other things like that. And so they believe it when they're told, oh, well, HSUS really is a secret, you know, vegan organization, and they're going to really, you know, they're subversive. They're going to change it, and no one's going to even notice that they're changing it. I've actually heard people say that. I mean, mm-hmm. people have said that.
Oh, I've heard that, too. I mean, people, you know, it's
that,
no
that
surprise.
HSUS
it's just
a subversive organization.
I've heard that.
Which is comical if it wasn't so tragic, you know.
Right. They have a plan, a secret plan.
When I was at the Animal Rights Conference in 2013, speaking to large numbers of people, many of whom agreed with me, but all of the organizers of which were very angry with what I was saying. But when I was there, I was talking to people from these organizations, including HSUS. HSUS wasn't speaking, but there were HSUS people there. And I was talking with them, and they basically take the position, well, you know, look, we're on your side. We're all on the same side. As a matter of fact, I got a lecture from one of the HSUS fairly high-up people. It wasn't Wayne, but it was someone else. And that person was lecturing me about how, you know, he doesn't like to spend his time attacking animal advocates.
It's time for a break. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com. Once again, a disclaimer that I am not responsible for the content of network commercials, but usually we work very well together with the Genesis Communications Network, and some spots may sound a little out of place for the show, but we work on it. We get things covered, but, sometimes stuff falls through the cracks, but GCN is very cooperative, and just in case sometimes you hear something and you go, oh, that Bob Linden is a sellout, was almost I almost wanted to get into that subject with Professor Gary Francione on my being a sellout, which...
Why are you a sellout?
Well, you know, I, maybe, no, I'm not, I don't think I am, no, so, you know.
Why is it claimed that you are a sellout?
Okay, so, you know, sometimes I take a few days off from Facebook and, like, walk Daisy or, you know, drive Granny to the doctor or whatever it is. And so then I come back and I find, oh, I'm embroiled in a controversy. And so the controversy was that I was a sellout, that Linden supports exploitation, because there was a misunderstanding with a company who is a sponsor of the World Vegan Summit and Expo. My policy on that is that the companies who sponsor the World Vegan Summit and Expo have to be 100% vegan companies. And in my talks with the company and the representatives and all, it was agreed that all of their products were vegan. They sponsored somebody out there, you know, they had thousands of products. Somebody out in the real world looked at all the products and found that of the thousands of products, one company had one non-vegan product and the other company had two non-vegan products. So, you know, I guess that qualifies to discontinue that sponsorship and all. But, it wasn't something that I knew. And so there was that. The other thing is that over the 15 years of broadcasting the show, and I wanted this to be in commercial radio because I actually wanted to run vegan ads for vegan products. I wanted to say, this is Veganaise, you know, it beat Hellman's in a taste test, you know, so I, you know, instead of being smart and going on public radio and not having the major expenses that I've had with the show. So my policy over the years, 15 years, has always been the products advertised on the show have to be vegan. Now, a good example of like an asterisk in all of this is that in my early years with the show, Veganaise was a sponsor, like the vegan mayonnaise.
Right.
But the people from Veganaise, Earth Island, people whom I love dearly, grew out of the same age we did that vegetarian meant dairy was okay. So they actually had a couple of salad dressings that had dairy in it. Over the years, the owner of the company, Bob Goldberg, said to me, you know, that I influenced him in the decision to make the company go completely vegan and for him to personally go vegan. Now, had I had a rule that only vegan companies, you know, and Veganaise would have been disqualified then. It's 100% vegan now. You know what I mean? So it's like, what's a vegan talk show host to do?
Well, I mean, look, as far as the, I saw one of those things. As a matter of fact, I think I exchanged an email with you about when I saw it. About alleging that you were an evildoer because one of the people involved, one of the groups, companies involved with World Vegan Summit wasn't vegan. They had a product that wasn't vegan, about which you were unaware. The bottom line is that people who are critical of the abolitionist position that you and I take will find always find a reason to be critical. I mean, this week I've had to deal with a British organization, Viva, which clearly supports happy exploitation. They sell cookbooks with animal products, you know, as ingredients and things like that. I've been critical of that, and the response is to say, well, I work for Rutgers University, and they do vivisection. Well, that's true. They do vivisection. There's nothing I can do about it. You know, and I oppose it. I always have for the 25, 26 years I've been there, opposed it. Bob, we live in a world in which, you know, I mean, if people want to say, well, you know, I work for a university that does vivisection, as idiotic as that is, that's what they'll say. As crazy as it is that they say to you, well, you know, one of the companies that sponsored the World Vegan Summit, you know, sold a product or had a product that had honey or something, right? Was it honey? Yeah, I don't know what it was. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, we have to take a break. We'll continue the discussion with Professor Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, two Bob Linden pages there, Facebook page for World Vegan Summit and Expo, and worldvegansummit.com, where you can register for the event happening at the end of July in Berkeley with Professor Gary Francione, who is here with us now, as he is every week. And he has a new book out with Anna Charlton. It's Animal Rights, the Abolitionist Approach. And I want to thank Vegetarian House, 100% vegan restaurant in San Jose, for its long-term support of this radio program, vegetarianhouse.us, Vegetarian House at 520 East Santa Clara Street. 100% vegan, organic, non-GMO. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. The food is delicious, and Vegetarian House caters. So if you have an event coming up in the Bay Area, business event, social event, you're getting married, make sure the food is great by contacting Vegetarian House, vegetarianhouse.us. We're talking to Professor Francione and talking a little bit about the advertising policy of Go Vegan Radio and sponsorship. And
You've got sponsors on the show. You don't control, and these people are, you know, are promoting stuff you don't agree with. Stuff I don't agree with. Stuff a lot of people who are listening don't agree with. And
yeah, but those are network spots. They're not
right. Those are network spots.
Although people may not know
the reality is, Bob, that most of the time the people who are criticizing you, or the people who are criticizing me, are people who take, you know, who have a welfarist perspective, and they're always looking for, you know, for something. And you know what? If the sponsor of the World Vegan Summit was 100% vegan, then they'd be commenting on the fact that company has people who work for it that are not vegan. So, you know, they're paying their employees money. They're a vegan company, but they're paying their non-vegan employees money, and they're going out and they're buying, you know, animal products. And so, therefore, and you're responsible for that because you have, you know, you have them at the World Vegan Summit. I mean,
it's hard to be 100% consistent.
I deal with this sort of stuff all the time. You know, I have Viva in the United Kingdom claiming that, you know, that, you know, I seek to engage them in good faith about their promotion of welfareism. Indeed, I even offered to volunteer my time to work with them, even though I do not believe in careerist organizations like that. I offered to volunteer my time to help them transform their campaigns from the welfareist campaigns they are now to the campaigns that could promote veganism as a moral baseline. And not only do they not respond to my criticisms of their campaign, they do not respond to my offers in good faith to help them. What they do is they get on the internet and they accuse me of being a bad person because I work for Rutgers, which does animal experimentation, which I've opposed for, you know, the 26 years I've been there, and, you know, before that, the 5 years I was at Penn, and before that, whatever. And so, you know, that's what these people do. I mean, I just posted an essay tonight on a group of people. Black Vegans Rock is an organization that has just started, and a lot of the people, you know, who are connected with it or supporters of it are criticizing me because they say the abolitionist approach is not progressive enough, and it's racist, and it's sexist, and blah, blah, blah. And there's never any support for this. It's just an allegation that because I'm a white male, anything I say it can be disregarded because I'm a, you know, because I am a white male. And what's really interesting is Black Vegans Rock and the and some of the other people who identify themselves as intersectionalist vegans are having a big conference in March. And who's sponsoring that conference? The Humane Society of the United States. And, you know, a number of the people who are connected with Black Vegans Rock explicitly reject veganism as a moral baseline. So they reject veganism as a moral baseline, and they're giving me a hard time saying that the abolitionist approach is not progressive enough. And when I criticize their positions, it's dismissed as, well, you're a racist or a sexist. So, I mean, look, Bob, the reality is, you want to take a position that is against all of the corporate welfarist interests, you're going to get slammed. And most of the time, the people who are slamming us are people who are, you know, going to conferences sponsored by HSUS or it's HSUS itself or, you know, whoever. I mean, you know, it's these organizations don't like our criticisms, and they won't engage our criticisms on the substance. They will not engage our criticisms on the substance. What they will do is basically attack in ad hominem ways. So I'm not saying that you know, HSUS had anything to do with the particular criticisms against you. I have gotten criticisms from HSUS people before that are not substantive. I mean, they just tend to be basically, you know, I'm a problematic person because I'm attacking other animal advocates. As a matter of fact, as I was mentioning before, when I was at the so-called animal rights conference, 2013, an HSUS officer type said to me, "I don't believe it's appropriate to attack other animal advocates." And I said to him, "Well, I more or less agree with you, except I don't consider you folks animal advocates. I consider you folks as promoting animal exploitation. I see you as part of the problem. I see you not as people who are advocating for the animals. I see you as people who are advocating for industry, for the happy industry." So, you know, I wouldn't get too terribly concerned about Facebook debates that in which people are accusing you of X, Y, and Z. You know, the shelf life of a Facebook, you know, Facebook stuff is pretty short. And the reality is the people who hate you and the people who hate you because they can't figure out what to say in response to the positions that you take, so that they basically come after you personally, those people are never going to be satisfied. there's nothing you're going to do that's ever going to placate them. So you ignore them and you move on. That's what I do. I just ignore them. People write to me all the time saying, look at what this person's saying about you. I say, fine. You know, it's fine. Are they spelling my name correctly? Because every time they put all that negative stuff out there, it drives people to my site because people want to see, what is this guy saying? You know, I mean, people say all these really horrible things about him. What is he saying? They come to my site. They see it makes sense. The number of times I've had people say, you know, I came to your page because I read some really bad things about you on X site or Y site. And now I see I agree with you. So my view is, some people will be upset with you, Bob, but you know what? We're going to get a lot more people coming to the Vegan Summit, the World Vegan Summit, because people read this stuff, you know, claiming you did X, Y, or Z, and they looked into it and they found out that that was nonsense, and they're going to come to the World Vegan Summit because they're interested in the message of abolitionist veganism, which we will promote there.
Yeah, I remember an attendee at our first World Vegan Summit and Expo, Esther Workman, who came there and said how she hated me for such a long time until then she was at that World Vegan Summit and Expo and into the whole thing. You know what I mean? So
I had at least 10 people at the last World Vegan Summit who said, I came to hear you because I live in this area and I've heard so many really horrible things about the positions that you take. And I wanted to come just to hear you to see what it was that you said that everybody gets so upset about. And it really makes a lot of sense. So, you know, my view is, look, you know, they attack you. The only thing you should be concerned about is, you know, they spell your name correctly so that people can find you, so they can find out what the truth is, and they can see what your position is. And if they like your substantive position, as most people who care about animals will, then they'll gravitate towards it. And, you know, the other people, let them, you know, they don't matter. Sorry.
Right. Okay, and that's LINDEN. And so, when we were listening to the Wayne Pacelli sound clips there a little while ago, I mean, what really struck me, he said, the direct quote is, at the end of the day, we moved to a position where we moved off of our traditional position because we understood the economic challenges that farmers had. So it sounds like they moved from their initial position, like for animals, to their a new position against animals and for the farmers. You know, I mean, it's like almost a, you know, how do you move from an original position to a different one because of the farmers' economic challenges?
Well, I agree. I listened to those quotes from Wayne. And, you know, as I say, I find them morally objectionable. But on the other hand, as somebody who has been doing this for 30 years and has been dealing with HSUS for 30 years, and, you know, who knew the cast of the characters 33 years ago when I first got involved, it hasn't really changed all that terribly much.
But the main difference is
HSUS has swallowed up the movement, so that basically we now have what is unquestionably at the corporate charity level nothing but a welfarist movement. That's what we have. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a sociological change, a social change. But HSUS in many ways is no different now from the way that it was back then. Except there are supposedly vegans working there, but they're taking the same position, which there weren't. I can assure you 33 years ago there weren't. But they're taking the same position that John Hoyt and you know, all the cast of characters back then was taking. So, you know, I mean, it is disturbing. It is disturbing that so many animal people, so many vegans, still support them. But on the other hand, you know, when they're talking at the venues where a lot of these people hear them, they're saying something very different. They don't, you know, they're, you know, Pacelle's not saying that sort of stuff. You know, they're basically saying, you know, oh yeah, we're vegans. We want to get rid of all animal use, but the way you have to do, you know, you have to do it this way. This is the realistic way. You know, as you know, the mantra that they're all articulating now is the effectiveness mantra. Well, you know, we all want the same thing, but our way is more effective, which is, you know, I mean, putting aside the fact there is not a scintilla of empirical evidence to show that, which is a big putting aside, but, you know, that's what they're claiming now. And look, and a lot of people will believe what these folks say because, you know, they represent themselves as vegans. They talk about, you know...
Hang on, Professor Francione. Time for another break. We will continue. Register now at worldvegansummit.com. Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, where programs are archived. And we are staying on our traditional position. We are not moving off of our traditional position to a new position. So we'll just stay for the vegan cause. We'll stick with that. That seems simple enough for me. We're talking to Professor Gary Francione. Did I cut you off in the middle of a sentence again, as I always do, or where were we?
I actually don't recall. I certainly didn't feel hard done by, so I don't think you did anything which I regarded as untoward. But look, okay. I think the bottom line is we got to keep forging ahead. We're building a vegan movement. It's happening. And if it weren't happening, we wouldn't be put it this way, Bob. If we weren't building a vegan movement, you wouldn't be getting things like, you know, people going after you because one of your sponsors, without your knowledge, sold, you know, one product in a line or whatever that wasn't vegan or whatever the claim was. And, you know, I wouldn't be getting, you know, look, something's happening. We're getting a grassroots movement. A grassroots movement is developing all over the world because people see the simplicity of the idea that if animals matter morally, we have a moral obligation. It's not a matter of lifestyle. It's not a matter of journey. It's not a matter of the who you are space. It's a matter of a moral obligation to go vegan. It is a moral principle. It is generalizable. It's universalizable. It binds us all. And that if animals matter, just as we must reject slavery, just as we must reject other fundamental violations of human rights, we have to reject animal exploitation. This is not rocket science. These are very simple ideas. What becomes complicated are all of the rationalizations that people come up with to try to avoid the impact of that moral obligation, the existence of which and the origin of which is really quite clear. And I think a lot of people are saying, you know what, it is clear. And they're getting turned onto it, they're turning other people onto it, and it's all happening outside of the large corporate charity. It's all happening outside of there. It's happening as a grassroots matter.
In spite of them, in a sense, not just outside, but in spite of them, it's happening.
Well, yeah, that's right. Exactly. Despite them and despite their efforts, it's happening because it is the true because it's truth, because nonviolence and because not exploiting the most vulnerable members of our world out there is the truth of that is powerful. And people see it. And people are seeing past this idea that, you know, the way to get to veganism really, if you take a step back and look at what these folks are saying, well, our position is more effective. We believe that it'll get people to accept veganism if you advise that they do everything else but go vegan.
If McDonald's goes cage free in 10 years,
vegan? Support McDonald's going cage free in 10 years. I mean, look, some people will buy that, Bob. There are some people who will buy that for a variety of reasons, and you know, with the main reason being a lot of them aren't vegan. But you know, a lot of people will buy into that stuff, but a lot of people won't and aren't, and so there's something happening, and it's only gonna it can't be stopped now. You know, it will unfold of its own accord now, and of its own it'll move under its own power. The idea is out there now, it's no longer, you know, the what I've been talking about for many years. You know, I no longer need these organizations. I once needed these organizations to get that work out there to activists. I could get it out in universities, I could get it out to students and things, but I couldn't get it out to activists without these organizations. I needed them. Now I know, and obviously I didn't have a good relationship with them. And so now I don't need them anymore because we have this thing called the internet, which has its downsides, but, you know, it has its downsides. People who don't like you can start defamatory campaigns against you, and can give, you know, and can create little tempests in their little teapots about, you know, sponsors of the World Vegan Summit or whatever. Mm. That's the downside of the internet. But the upside of the internet is limitless, because it's now allowed us to communicate with people all over the world without the opportunity cost we had before that required that we use these organizations. We depend on these organizations. Mm-hmm. So
they won't be there at the World Vegan Summit and Expo.
No matter what happens, it can't be stopped then.
Okay.
And when one of the things I think we're going to see, I mean, the excitement that I'm getting from people about World Vegan Summit is it's wonderful. I mean, we've got people.
Okay, then register now at worldvegansummit.com. I think we're out of time. Thanks for listening.